Eat, ingredients, travel, portrait, number 67. Out of the wilderness. Fiction. Brian twisted the knob and opened his bedroom door. Once through, he closed the door swiftly behind himself without slamming. A whoosh of air flowed down the hallway, carrying the scent of his musk cologne. Brian waited for his masculinity to be detected before he entered the living room. Celia caught a whiff and immediately came to attention. This familiar musk scent meant that her godfather was present, not her moody uncle. She grabbed her paper plate, napkin, and beer bottle off the coffee table. She cleaned up after Frank, too. Celia instructed him to finish his beer and put the bottle into the recycle bin beneath the sink. Startled, Frank chugged the remaining half, wiped his mouth with his sleeve, and followed Celia into the kitchen. Having made his presence known, Brian heard Celia and Frank scuffle, which sounded as if they were afraid of getting caught doing something that he would disapprove. Entertained, Brian made his entrance. He smiled at the two as they both stepped out of the kitchen. His eyes were beaming with laughter. "Let me get your plate and glass," offered Celia. Before Brian could respond, Celia grabbed the dishes out of his hands. After he relinquished with little resistance, she placed the dishes directly into the sink. "Grab your coats," ordered Brian. "I'm fine as is." Celia went over to the couch and grabbed her leather moto. Frank retrieved his waxed cotton jacket from the closet. Frank noticed that Brian was wearing the same wardrobe as when they met a month ago. A navy suit, a light blue shirt with top button unfastened, and cognac brogues. This must be his signature look, Frank thought to himself. "Have you got the tickets?" inquired Brian authoritatively. "Mine and yours, yes," chirped Celia. "Frank, here's your ticket," presented Brian after he tucked away a vertical black Cordovan wallet into his inner jacket pocket. Brian angled his arm up slightly above his shoulder and dangled his hand as he held the ticket for Frank to take. Brian looked down his nose at his guest, whose attire was too casual for his liking. He was unsympathetic to Frank's sartorial plight, despite being unaware of the concert at Carnegie Hall. Brian wished he had not purchased the ticket. Frank realized that his host had shaved for the occasion. He could clearly see the stress in Brian's flexing jawline and his protruding neck tendons. Frank felt embarrassed, so much so that he wished he could back out of going to the concert. But that would mean that he wanted out of this so-called business relationship, and his reputation, albeit presently non-existent in Manhattan, might be damaged in the future if Brian put the word out.
"All right, let's go,"
snapped Brian. The tone in Brian's voice made Frank wonder if this demanding vehemence was the sign of a staunch liberal megalomaniac or that of a rigid conservative control freak. Celia motioned to Frank to leave the apartment first. Brian motioned to Celia to go next, after which he locked the doorknob and advanced the deadbolt after the door shut behind him. Frank was halfway up the hall before he looked over his shoulder and saw that the other two were lagging several feet behind, arm in arm.
"Press the button for the elevator, would you?" condescended Brian.
Celia giggled. Arriving first, Frank turned around, winced, and stated with a smile, "No problem," when he saw Brian shorten his stride and tug on Celia's arm to adjust hers. When the elevator door opened, Frank entered and used his arm to prevent the automatic closing. Brian's and Celia's pace quickened. They thanked Frank upon entering the chamber. Celia looked into Frank's eyes apologetically. Brian unfurled his eyebrows. Celia politely asked Frank to press the button for the ground floor.
"G is for garage," she teased.
Brian jerked her arm, causing her to lean off balance. Celia placed her free hand on Brian's shoulder to steady herself. Unintentionally, Frank pressed 2, then the correct one. He turned his body sideways in an attempt to hide his mistake. The elevator moved slowly, silently, seemingly without gravitational pull or mechanical release. When the door opened, Frank stuck his head out to look up and down the hall as if he was expecting to see a person waiting. Doing so, he also took a deep breath of fresh air.
"I saw you press 2, commented Brian. "You're a terrible actor."
Celia chimed in before Frank could respond.
"I think Frank needed a break from your ghastly cologne." "I know I do."
Frank tried not to laugh. He muffled the guffaw with his fist and a fake cough.
"See? He's allergic, quipped Celia. To extinguish a vitriolic verbal reply, Brian huffed. Frank began to panic. His palms began to sweat. With his arms at his sides, he balled his hands into fists. Then he jutted his fingers downwards. His body stiffened. Eyes closed. His head fell back, his face towards the ceiling. His back was against the wall. Frank knew that he almost blew it, almost irreparably ruined his relationship with Brian by laughing at Celia's joke. "I'm a bit claustrophobic," explained Frank. Then he pursed his lips to prevent a stupid utterance that would undermine his excuse. The awkward silence was interrupted by a ding signaling the first floor. Brian disengaged his arm from his niece's and gestured for them to exit the elevator. Frank regained his composure and followed Celia. She waited at the metal-framed glass door that led to the sidewalk. Frank did the honor of turning the security handle and yanking the door towards them. "Please, go ahead." Brian walked through first, then Celia. The godparent and child locked arms again after they heard the self-locking door click shut. Frank moved beside Celia as the guy-girl-guy group made their way to Carnegie Hall. Frank tried to think of a safe topic the three of them could discuss. After about a half of a city block, Brian stopped in his tracks, causing the group to halt abruptly. He tilted his upper body forward, gave Frank a stern look, and asked him if he would lag behind a bit so that he could discuss a personal matter with Celia, who tilted her body in the opposite direction and stared off at a distance, trying not to look shocked by Brian's request. Frank nodded without saying a word. He waited as the couple proceeded to a distance adequate for a private conversation before he began to tag along. Chafed, he decided then and there not to speak unless spoken to. Frank figured he comprehended the subtextual difference between Brian's business attire and his day-to-day clothes. He remembered that Brian was Celia's second choice for the evening and was performing his familial duty. Besides, what Frank felt most was a beer buzz. He thought the quiet walk would do him some good, help him clear his mind, get prepared for a possibly long evening.
for your convenience. This audio is also available in print. Thanks for taking the time to eat ingredients. So try to make them taste really good. Copyright 2017 by Edward K. Brown II, all rights reserved.